Kazoo Fest 2019 is taking place April 10th through the 14th.
And this 12th iteration of the festival will feature yet another genre-defying lineup of independent artists from across Canada.
Over 5 action-packed days in Guelph will feature over 40 musical performances, visual and media art, contemporary dance, and the Kazoo Print Expo.
There will be performances by the Queer Songbook Orchestra, Snotty Nose Rez Kids, Jennifer Castle, Eves Jarvis, Joyful Talk, John Southworth and the South Seas, Miss Eves, and so much more.
The Kazoo Print Expo will be taking place on April 13th and will feature comics, zines, illustrations, letterpress, and much more.
Don't miss the 12th annual Kazoo Fest, April 10th to the 14th, in various downtown Guelph locations.
For more info, including tickets, passes, and accessibility information, visit kazookazoo.ca.
Kazoo Fest is made possible by support from sponsorships with The Cornerstone, CFRU 93.3 FM, Downtown Guelph, Wellington Brewery, Ampersand, Exclaim, and many more.
Compromising for what? Compromising for what reason? To compromise for what? To compromise. What is compromise?
Hello and welcome to Kazoo Fest podcast number 1 for the year 2019. Kazoo Fest is happening this year in downtown Guelph from April 10th to 14th. Check out kazookazoo.ca. for crony pass information, advance tickets, the full schedule, all that fun stuff. My name is Chelsea. I am the host of the Flannel Hour on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca. And you can hear that show every Tuesday from 2 to 4 p.m. Now I'm doing something a little different for this podcast. I am going to be talking to Miss Eves, Brooklyn rapper, amazing person. She was so easy and great to talk to. So we're going to hear from Miss Eves. But first, let's hear one of her songs. Let's get you all introduced to Miss Eves. Of course, you can check her out online as well. But to start off this podcast, let's hear a song called Thunder Thighs from Miss Eves' album, Feminasty. And after that, we'll hear from Miss Eves herself.
Chub, rub, the day is just heating up. So what? These boy shorts are inching up. Thick thigh sundress, I'm looking good. Thighs, they divide.
go halfway up. Mom jeans all day, why you mad though? Mom jeans all day, why you mad?
Thunder thighs, thunder, thunder thighs. Thunder thighs, thunder, thunder thighs.
Oh my, got them thunder thighs. Boom, clack, they smack when I stride. Thighs thick, thighs juicy. Don't be jelly when my thighs shake.
All right, well, I guess we can get started.
Okay, cool.
Maybe by you introducing yourself.
Okay. Sorry, I never can do this. Okay, sorry. Okay. Hey, I'm Shanthony Exum. I'm a multimedia artist. I guess I'm most known for my project, Miss Eves, my rap persona, Miss Eves.
Yeah, and you're in Brooklyn?
Yeah, I live in Brooklyn. This is where I'm in with my unmade bed behind me.
Only shame. I can see it. It's all right.
Yeah, it's shameful. It's like literally takes 5 seconds to make your bed and I can't even be bothered.
I'm the exact same way. So
yeah
totally the same way. And when I actually do make my bed, I'm surprised in myself and I'm like, this is nice. I guess I'll do it. Never happens again.
It feels so good, too. Whenever I make it, I'm like, ugh, making adult moves. Look at this. But then it's like, I still don't do it. It takes like 5 minutes. It makes me like a lot happier, but I still just don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah.
But you do a lot of stuff. You're doing a lot of creative things besides just being a rapper.
Right. So actually, I just made this like paper mache sandwich. That's why I pushed our meeting back, because I wanted to make this little video where I made a cooking video where I'm like making sandwiches. But I was like, the light was really nice. And I was like, maybe it won't be as nice as it's getting dark at like 4.
Exactly.
So I do those like paper mache sculptures. Like my full time job is like as an illustrator designer. And I do like some street photography. I like direct my music videos. I kind of just like to be a creative person.
Yeah, and there's a lot. And we talked about you doing your own jewelry too.
Yeah. I like make them out of paper mache. Like paper mache really is how I like calm down. Like if I'm feeling like anxious or stressed, this is like a way of like meditating. But now I've gotten to the point where I'm like getting pretty good at it. So I'm just always trying to be like, oh, I wonder how I would make a pie lattice. You know, and then try to figure out like how to make more and more like complicated things. So now it's become a little bit of an obsession. It hasn't gotten to the obsession part where it stresses me out, but it's definitely like, oh, cool. And my friend just wrote on my like Miss Eve's wall. She was like, okay, let me know when it's time to call for help. When you have like you ran out of toothpaste and there's no toilet paper left, and you're like in your house making an Emerald City out of completely paper mache food. Like, sounds like what I would do.
I'm
glad to know that someone's has their eye out.
Yeah, you need those friends that can look out for you when you take it a little too far.
Right. It's just like, girl, calm down.
I did see the cheese sandwich that you posted. Was it this morning? Yesterday?
Yeah, it was yesterday. So now I'm making a video of that same sandwich. Because I was just like, it looks simple because it's just like a sandwich, but then I made the bread, the tomatoes, the cheese, and it looks so good in like the separate parts. So I kind of wanted to show, you know, like it kind of like just do a silly thing with it. I mean, I just shot it in like the 15 extra minutes you gave me. So it's not like super professional. I mean, well, let's be honest. but I think it's fun and it's just for Instagram. So it's not like I'm trying to win a Golden Globe or anything.
Yeah. But you do direct your own videos as well and do the art direction.
Yeah. And like my background is actually in like design art direction. So visual stuff is actually like comes easier to me than making music. That's just like what I've been doing like my whole life is making visual art. And so I just like really enjoy doing that aspect of it. And I just have like a lot of ideas. Like I actually have this idea journal and I try to write down three ideas. And it can be like wacky. Like real wacky, Yeah. I try to write 3 ideas every night just to keep it, because it's like a muscle, you know, mm-hmm. creativity is a muscle, and you have to just like stretch it and like tend to it and like build it, or it will go away, like, you know, or it'll get rusty. It might not completely go away, but it does get a little rusty.
Yeah, definitely. And I read on your Twitter account that you started doing improv.
Oh,
picking
my
up
God.
On like using that kind of like creative muscle, right. And
right, I'm like, yeah. Obsessed with improv. It's like my favorite thing. I've been doing it now since, like, I actually started doing it in Canada. Like, I like was in Montreal and my friend was like, do you want to go to improv with me? And I was like, okay, I think you're cute, so I'm gonna say yes, because I'll do anything with you because I think you're cute.
Yeah.
So went with my friend to improv, and then I just became like obsessed with it, and I came back to Brooklyn and I was like, okay, let me find an improv community. That's, I'm taking classes and I'm like working my way through the levels, and I'm just like, my next video that I'm shooting in like 2 weeks, it has some people I know from improv in it, and we're just like really it should be pretty silly, but
yeah.
So it's like gonna be like a funny like improv kind of video.
Amazing, because your videos and songs have humor in them. That's one
yeah.
of the things that really drew me towards your music, was that not only was it empowering, but it's funny too. Like,
oh, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
and
you.
Just that humor in song, but it's still like, yeah, it's so good.
Oh, thank you. I like working on an EP that's gonna come out in March, hopefully. That's what the video is for. But it's called like Sad. The EP is called Sad because I've been like really sad. But the songs are all dancey and they're all funny. But it's just like, online dating makes me sad. You know, like my client's not paying me on time. There's a song on there called Exposure Kills about people not paying me on time. And I think it's like a real struggle because a lot of millennials, we're in this like gig economy and we're all kind of just like not having steady, like our parents had these like steady union jobs where they were taken care of. And a lot of us are just like scrapping and scraping to get by. And so like that's what Exposure Kills is about. And then I wrote a song because I'm an introvert. So I wrote a song called Homebody where I'm like, I'm not leaving. Yeah, try to pry me away from this house.
I feel like that's going to be my new jam. This is the first time I've been out like of my house all weekend.
Yeah, it's like, it's real. Like, for real. I like will not leave my house. My friends were like, girl, get out. So, I mean, I'm really excited about it because it was just coming, like the new EP, because it just came, like I wrote it in like 2 weeks, but it just came from this like emotional place. I'm like, instead of moping around, I should maybe like channel like what's frustrating me into like music. Cause I'm sure like if it's like this is happening to me, it's probably happening to other people, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, other people are probably like ground down by like online dating, or like it's just so hard to like find those connections and chasing clients around for money, all that stuff.
Yeah, and all like that's what I love about all your music is all the songs touching on so many different things, because you touch on like consent. You touch on, well, I'm just thinking of, masturbation with that. And even, I want to bring this up too. There's so many things I want to talk to you about, but the merkins you made for the Bush for the Push. Like everything. Like, I think it's really great that you're putting it all out there and showing it in such an accessible way too.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I really want to just like, because I think a lot of the stuff I write music about is stuff that's like unnecessarily taboo. It's like, why is pubic hair taboo? Like literally, I mean, there's some people that maybe like have like alopecia that don't have pubic hair, but I would say the most majority of people will have it like unless they're doing something to it. So it's just like, why are we not talking about it? Like, why are we ashamed? Like, we should just kind of, you know, normalize stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. We're not, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that, yeah, because I'm a huge Missy Elliott fan.
Oh, me too.
I kind of guessed just from even subject matter in your songs, but I loved how, what brought me to her really when I was younger was just that she would talk about whatever, rap about whatever, and kind of from her, like the female perspective, which in so much of music is always taken from more of like a misogynistic, the woman's just there as the girl in the video or for someone else, but
the
it was
prop.
Like
they're like props.
Exactly. And then Missy came along and just
And she's so weird. Like, yeah. You know, especially for that time, like, she's in this, like, inflatable suit. And it's just so refreshing. And she's not trying to, like, fit her body into, like, this body type. She's just like, I'm talented. I'm a good rapper. You know, I'm funny. All of that stuff. And she's not trying to be a video vixen. She's just being herself. And that was, like, so refreshing. Because I think up until then, there was, like, some female MCs, but a lot of them are still trying to be, like, still playing into that, like, for the male gaze, like, yeah, as objects. And which is really refreshing when Missy came out. And I was just like, whoa, you know? It's like, that's... You know, I mean, that's very, it was like very good for a young person, young woman, you know, like looking up to her, you know, and just seeing like, oh, I could do this, you know, maybe one day.
And you are, you're doing your own videos, you're doing your own songs, and like, it's amazing.
Oh, thank you.
I also read that you started trying to make your own beats.
Oh, yeah.
Or was that like a...
No, that's the same maybe the one. When I first started making music, I made my own beats, but I'm not a beat maker. And one thing I'm learning as I get older is like, there's some things I start doing that I'm not good at, but I enjoy doing it, so I should continue doing those things. But there's some things that are like painful, like I'm not so into them. And so it's just like, maybe I should just like collaborate with people who can do that better, mm-hmm. and then only do things like in my, like for my art that makes me happy. You know?
Yeah, yeah. When you're, like, creating things and you hit, like, a creative block, do you just switch to a different artistic project?
Like, well, that's why I have my idea journal, because, one, it, like, helps me, like, and sometimes some nights I don't journal in it, and then some nights I'll do, like, 3 pages, but, like, that helps me, because then if I get stuck, I can just look at all these other ideas, and then I can just start making stuff, because I think... For me, it's not, like, the mediums as much as it's, like, idea generation and idea, like working on those ideas and idea creation and, like, working on the ideas that I've already come up with and, like, making them real. And those are two different parts of, like, a creative mind, right? Because, like, mm-hmm. figuring out how to, like, construct something, it might not be, like, coming up with the idea of making it, but it's still, like, creative and, like, how does this work and, like, deconstructing it or whatever. Deconstructing a pie to make it out of cardboard and paper mache, you know, and like, how will I make the cherries? Oh, maybe this will work. Maybe this will work. But I think kind of like shifting between like writing, generating ideas, and then like creating work, I'm trying to find that balance. That's how I kind of get unstuck, you know? So when I'm feeling stuck with generating ideas, then I'm like, okay, maybe I'll just go and try to like execute an idea that I already started.
Nice. Yeah. It's hard to get out of those rut sometimes.
Right.
And especially even when it's, you're working on so many different kind of creative things, it can be hard too to, if you're feeling creatively like worn out, I guess, or burnt out, it can be hard when everything you like doing is creative.
No, I think that's true. I mean, with my day job, it's a little bit easier to do that stuff because it's literally people like, I need a book. I want it to be like this size. This is the content. So it's like a lot of these parameters are already defined for me. So sometimes I can just shift and like just do like more of like my like business work, because it's like, even though I'm being creative, there is like creative in a box. Like sometimes when I'm writing a song, it's like creative and the whole universe is available. And that's when it gets hard. And I'm like, I could literally write about anything. Like where do I start? You know? So sometimes I'll just like journal, like actually journal and say like, these are all of my feelings. These are the things that's made me feel sad, happy, angry, scared, and just like journal about that. And then like kind of find the songs and those things, you know, like,
yeah.
This is like, oh, this is what I need to write about, 'cause this is what I'm going through like right now. And I like, it's actually like fresh in my mind. So I have a lot of content and feelings around it, and I can write some songs.
Nice. And you recorded your, was it the Feminasty album in Montreal?
Yeah, I did. I lived there for like 6 months in 2017. I was kind of like off and on, like here, like I'll be in New York and I'll go to Montreal for 3 months, then New York and back and forth. And so that was like really cool. It's like the studio is Studio Creason. I don't know. Like, I think that was the name of it. The dude was like mad chill, and he was really easy to work with. Cause a lot of times sometimes when I'll work with, especially like men, they'll like not listen to me.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, it should be this way. And I'm like, but this is not what I want, you know? And so he was not like that. He was really awesome. And he was just like, he gave me suggestions, but he also was like listening to me, which was cool. Yeah.
That's so important.
Yeah.
Especially as like a woman in the field, in any field, but especially in music.
Right.
Like a lot of women aren't given credit for what they're doing. Like,
no, or they're diminished. It's like, yeah, diminishing them, or like, oh, so many people are like, oh, you rap good for our girl, or you do this good for our girl. And I'm like, first of all, I'm a woman, not a girl.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, like, how dare you? Like, who are you, like, the judge to, like, judge me and tell me that, like, you know, like, are you some, like, art critic that's, like, really, well, you know, for the New York Times? Like, what are you sitting here telling me I rap good for a girl? Like, that's so insulting. It's, like, such a... But I mean, it's always like that. I mean, I find it happens a little bit less with like younger people, because I find that like gender is becoming less important, which mm-hmm. is great. And like we're deconstructing a lot of these like horrible remnants, especially from like the baby boomer generation and things. Like a lot of, I mean, of course, sexism still exists, but I do find that like happens less with younger people. They're like, oh, you do this good for a girl. They're not expecting me to be bad because I am female bodied.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just breaking down those old, stuck-in, kind of misogynist ways. But that's where, yeah, because I was thinking about, like, how the internet and exposure and kind of even controlling your image, because your image online, and just from what I've noticed online, is very, like, bright, positive.
Yeah.
Like, you use so much color and everything. You look like you're having a ton of fun in the videos. Like, everything just, like... pops and forms this image that you've been able to, I guess, create because you are behind directing and the art direction. And
I mean, and I'm always like, I'm a pop artist, that's like the art I make, so I've always been attracted to really colorful things. I think even with the album that I'm releasing that's like more about things that have made me like sad, it's still like a crying panda on the cover. You know what I mean? It's still like bright and silly. Because it's just like, even though life can be like really hard, I still try to find the humor in it. And even though like sometimes my mind is like going in an anxious circle, I'm like, let me figure out how to channel this into something that if I looked at it, it would like calm me down or make me feel better. Because I'm not trying to like make something, some work that like makes me like wallow in like a bad feeling.
Yeah. You know? You're making music to get out of that.
Yeah, really. Exactly. So it's like, and I think that's like sometimes hard because people are like, oh, you're always happy. And it's like, no, it's not that I'm always happy. It's that like art and music and all of this is just kind of how I'm dealing with some of my like mental issues and like how I'm dealing with some of my hardships. And I'm like channeling it in a way that's like helping and supporting me and like pulling me out of it.
Yeah. And music is sometimes, I feel like, especially now with all this streaming and the curated playlist and everything, it can be so often sent to the background. Like, it's just something going on behind you while you're...
Right, it's not intentional. Like, where people aren't like, oh, I'm going to, like, listen to this album. I'm going to pull it out of, like, the CD case. Like, you know, put it in. Yeah, and I was just like, you don't even know sometimes who the artist is. You're just like, oh, that song is cool, but it's, like, in a playlist that you're just playing while you're, like, doing whatever.
And it just kind of just might just flutter by.
Yeah.
And I find myself too, especially in winter, as you're in New York, so we have similar
cold. Your winter
cold.
Is worse, because as someone who lives in Canada, it's definitely colder.
Oh, Montreal's worse than where I am right now, though.
Montreal's like brutal. There were some times when I had to go to the Depeneurs and just be like, ugh, it's so cold, I can't even walk it like 5 blocks home, just like warm up, and then like try to run to the next place where I could just like hide.
Yeah. And I find when weather gets like this, or when I'm feeling like kind of how the weather is, I always lean towards more fun, sometimes silly, whatever music, because it just helps totally get out of it. Like, recently I've been listening to you a lot. I always listen to Missy all the time, but I've found out about you more recently, I guess in the last like 6 months or so. So you've made it onto my, like, bummed out playlist, basically.
Nice.
And, like, with, like, Kaylee 47 and just
all
these.
I love her.
So good.
good. It's so fun.
Mm-hmm. But all that kind of like fun music that you can just put on and be like, when you step out the door, feel more like, oh, I got this. Like I can get through the day, even though I just spent all weekend not talking to anyone and
absolutely
hiding.
Absolutely. And yeah, and that's like, I mean, that's like why, like when I was just making the new album, I was just like, yo, like this, I'm not gonna make it like sad. It's about sad stuff, but I'm gonna make this like homebody song. It's gonna be so dancey. It's gonna be like you're having a club at your house.
And that's what I liked about like single, I'll say AF.
AF, yeah.
Yeah. But that's what I liked about that one is there's been so many times when I've been at home and just put it on and been just like, yeah.
Yeah. Because it's just like, it could be like, I mean, because I feel like everyone, even people in relationships though, feel lonely, mm-hmm. you know, but if like we just like acknowledge that that's like a feeling instead of trying to like push it down or like deny ourselves that feeling and then just kind of like find the thing that makes that universal. I think that helps so much, you know, just to find like to find the humor and like the universality and like these like quote unquote like negative feelings or that we have. I don't know. Just I felt like there's something powerful there.
And I loved the video for that song, too. It was so great.
Yeah, that was fun to make. Like, that, the actress, she was really funny, you know? And it was, like, strange because, like, people were like, is that you? And I'm like, no. I mean, she's, like, 60, but no. But I'm glad she killed the lip sync that people thought it was me.
Yeah. She did a great job, and I love the, like, onesie and...
Yeah. Like, that was, like, really funny, because I was just, like, what would it mean to have a party by yourself, like, and, like, to have it not be sad, have it just to be, like, a good time where you get all the candy, you get to wear whatever you want, you know, you get all these fun cupcakes, and you're just, like, having a blast. And so that was kind of a fun video to art direct, so I was just, like, okay, let me just, like, plan this party at my house that I think would be fun.
That's great. Your name, Miss Eves, well, your rap name, Miss Eves.
Yeah.
Is based on the font Mrs. Eves, correct?
Yes, it is. Because I'm a graphic designer. So it's just like, total font nerd. What, like, how can I be true to myself? And I was like, Miss Eves, that sounds fun. Because I like overused that font. Like, my first boss, he was like, you can't use that font anymore. Like, every project you do is that font, stop. And I was just like, oh. That was like banned.
Oh my God, that's so great. What is it about the font that you gravitate to?
Well, it's maybe like classical looking, but then it has those like really sweet kind of like rounded serifs. Mm-hmm. And so it has like, it looks a little bit more like friendly, even though it's like more of a traditional font. So I could use it for like invitations, for more other print pieces and stuff, but it wouldn't be just like Times New Roman or like, you know, Georgia or something that's just like a plain serif. It had like these look interesting bits and it just seemed so sweet. And then there's like the small caps too. And I was like, oh, I like them small caps.
So if you were to design your own font, how would you describe a Miss Eves or a Chanthony font?
Oh, I would say it would be really bold and it would look like it's partially created by hand. So I probably would like draw a font and then scan it in and kind of like vectorize it, but it would still have those like qualities where it looks like there is an element of hand drawnness in it, because they're like, I haven't used it ever since I got banned. I was like, oh no, and I just haven't like come back to it really. But like all the stuff I use for Miss Eves is like kind of more like funky, like fun hand drawn fonts. So I think I probably would, if I was to make a font, it would be something in that vein. That's just like something I could use a lot for posters. It's like bold, but still has that hand element in it.
Nice.
Them all rattled. Snakes in the grass, hiss. Look, now they mad though. They got me, so I'm herding cattle. The
need sheep. I'm counting when I go sleep. Little Bo Peep, this herd follow me. Conformist boxes so limiting. Escape, I'm free. Houdini, obscene. Heard they got something to say. Their opinions won't define me. And I rain all day on their parade. Twerk to my own beat, never afraid. I'm a rebel on another level. They can't solve me, I'm a riddle. Little off, yeah, I know I'm kind of weird. I give zero fear. Everybody here, put your hands up if you are a little weird. We have no fear. Rebels, put your hands in the air. Everybody here, put your hands up if you are a little weird. We have no fear. Rebels, put your hands in the air.
Yo, I'm aware of the critics. They think my weirdness is gimmicks, cause they be wary of lyricists who can narrate about Linux. But I don't care, cause they boring. No, Kanye can't let them finish. They are vestigial organs, remind me of an appendix. I walk a line like I'm Johnny Cash. A million hobbies on my mind, I'm a polymath. So all the copycats lollygag, I'm jogging laps around my sorry ass while I snap with Ollie raps. I'm talking punchlines, need a minute, don't want no subprimes. They give me credit, got the normies all tongue-tied. But my aesthetic, yeah, they corny and they contrive. They try to get it, but
they like really don't.
You could bet I would shake any labels. Like Carly Red came to shake any tables. Yeah, they can try to replicate it, but the devil's in the details. Only way to copy me is when you send an email.
Everybody here, put your hands up if you are a little weird. We have no fear. Rebels, put your hands in the air. Everybody here, put your hands up if you are a little weird. Shake it for me. We do our thing to a new beat. All the weirdos, shake it for me. We do our thing to a new beat. All the weirdos, shake it for me. We do our thing to a new beat. All the weirdos, shake it for me. Shake it for me. Shake it, shake it, shake it.
That was Miss Eves from the album Me AF. That song was called Weird AF, featuring Samus. Now back to the interview.
I feel it's really funny because I wrote down all this stuff, just general kind of things I wanted to touch on, and we've touched on parts of them in such funny ways. Maybe a good one would be the Everybody
Project.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Your
so
Instagram.
I started that like 5 years ago when I moved to New York. Maybe almost 6 years ago. I've been here for a while now. Because a lot of the messaging I was getting was like bumming me out. Like, I was like, okay, women have to be this certain size. We can't age. We can't do anything. We have to be like beautiful all the time. And like this certain standard of beauty, it can't be like defined within ourselves. And I was like, I think this is all hogwash. Let me just find a bunch of different people who I think are stylish and cool and like interesting and like focus on them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And when I first started that project, I didn't even know how to take photos. Like the first photos I took was like horrendous, but I like taught myself how to be a bit, I'm like still learning how to be a better photographer, but I like taught myself a lot about like just framing and like composition and like getting, like having like a clean frame where there's not like some person picking oranges out of a fruit stand in the background, you know, that's going to be distracting from the main subject. So it's just been like a really cool journey, like of learning about photography and stuff, but also too, just like talking to people about what they like about themselves and, you know, like that self-esteem aspect. So there'll be times when I'll go out and I'm just like, so feeling like sad and like bummed. And then I'm like, oh, now I'm having these like positive interactions with people. Cause like everything I'm doing is like, I'm complimenting them. I'm like, I think you look great. You know, can you tell me what you like about yourself? And that's just so positive. And it's always, people are always so happy to like participate in it. Mm-hmm. It's just like, even if I start out feeling like anxious and sad, like then when I'm done, I'm just like, okay, this is good. You know, I feel better.
That's good. It works on both ways then, because
right,
both people are getting something out of it.
Exactly.
Yeah, in a positive way.
Right. And it's just like, because I think a lot of times, especially in New York, people don't want to stop because they're afraid you're going to be like, hey, can you give money to the like World Wildlife Fund or like, you know, give them, trying to sell something to them. But I'm literally just complimenting them. You know, when they realize that I'm not trying to like take anything from them or ask them to do anything for me, I'm just like wanting to have like a positive human interaction with them. I think they're like, oh, that's cool. You know?
Yeah. And your song Thunder Thighs, speaking of just empowerment and body positivity, went viral. Like it was.
Yeah. That was because I've been like an artist for like so long and I've just been making this work kind of like without anyone knowing about it, you know? And so, I mean, and like stuff was slowly building, like Hump Day that I had put out like a year before that had like started to like do stuff. Like, you know, there was getting a lot of like views, but Thunder Thighs is like a breaking moment, you know, where it was just like, wow, this is like resonating with people. They need this message of like seeing people that look like them in a music video.
Yeah, and that was so great to see because it never happens. And seeing it in such a good quality too, because you put a lot of work into the aesthetics,
yeah,
of the every video you've done, that it doesn't seem DIY, you know what I mean? Like
one of the best pieces of advice I've ever gotten is like invest in your art, invest in yourself. So I like probably put like 30-35% of my total income like back into my work. And so, like, I feel like if I want to make something, I'll, like, find a way to pay for it, you know, like, pay for it to look the way that I want it to look, you know? And then there's a lot of jobs I just taught myself. Like, I taught myself how to edit. I taught myself After Effects. I don't know if you saw the Santa Please animation.
I haven't seen that one yet.
It's a Christmas song. It just came out, like over Christmas. but it's a Christmas song about impeaching Trump. And so it's just like, I like taught myself how to animate. So there's some stuff I can like teach myself and I'm like, this is fine. But then there's other times where I'm like, I'm just going to pay people because I want this to look good. And so I'll just like work really hard, like save my money, be frugal, and just invest.
Yeah. And it pays off. It all looks so good together.
Thank you.
If you had like unlimited time and resources, is there something like, I guess, in the kind of do it yourself or the art design, whatever world that you would like to pick up and be able to do yourself if given any time or resources you could, like you didn't have to worry about that?
Oh, you mean like a skill that I would like
to
learn?
Yeah. Like,
I would like to learn how to produce more, but I just feel like that's just something that just takes so much time to get good at, you know? I would rather just be better at like rapping and stuff. I guess that's kind of been my thing. I mean, I would love to do some kind of like large scale, like exhibit that's like interactive. That's just like these like pop art sculptures that people can like interact with and like do more like community projects and stuff, you know, where it's like not just benefiting me, like where it's like helping other people and just like around New York or Brooklyn, like other marginalized people. But yeah, I don't know. Like sometimes I like to think big like that, but then sometimes I'm just like, okay, let me just try to start small and then eventually like branch out.
Yeah, I could totally see some, like
maybe I should daydream more about like having money.
I could see a like crazy, like Miss Eve's house.
Yes.
Kind of.
That's what someone said. They said they want me to like rent out a bodega and just fill it with a bunch of like it's just kind of like Bizarro Land bodega where it's just like, it's kind of a bodega, but like everything's like slightly off and it's just like, whoa. And then, you know, it's just like, that's weird.
That'd
I would love
be
to
sweet.
Do that. That would be fun. Yeah. And I've also realized too, I need like people to help me, you know, there's like, if I'm trying to do everything by myself, I'm not going to go very far. But if I wanted to make Bizarro Land bodega, I could sketch it out, then like share it with some like people that I trust and then they can contribute their ideas. And then we can like get other people to help us, you know?
Yeah. It's important to have that community.
Exactly.
And that will support you, lift you up, keep you in check.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And I really appreciate the transparency you have too, because you were just talking about like how much money you yourself have invested into things.
Yeah.
And I noticed that on your Kickstarter that you had before, like it's completed now, right?
Right, it's completed. That was like last year. And it was like really helpful, even though I ended up blowing like almost $8,000. I like through the whole thing of like the Push for the Push video.
Mm-hmm.
So then I still ended up going out of pocket. And that's just like, that just got out of hand. Because we're just like, oh, we have this cool space. We're going to do this. We're going to make this. And it's just like, ugh. You know, but I do try to be like transparent about it, like, especially if it's a Kickstarter where I'm asking people for money, I want them to know like how this is being spent, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just how much it costs you in the past to
I spent like a lot of money on like making stuff, and it's just because I believe in it. I feel like if you like have, and like I'm like, I have the means to do that. Like, some people, they literally can't spare the money, you know? So I don't want to, like, be, like, classist and say, like, everyone should do that because everyone can't do that. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm, like, as a middle-class person, I'm, like, instead of, like, going to, like, all these, like, fancy dinners with my friends or, like, going out to bars and drinking, I can just, like, be more frugal and, like, stay at home a little bit more and then put that more into something that's, like, my art, you know?
Yeah, yeah, it's rewarding that way. You can see what you like.
Right.
Not to knock dinners with friends and stuff, but
no, that's great.
Because they're important like, too. But
it's good too. But I'm saying like an expensive dinner.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I have like a lot of my friends now. They're like further along in their careers and they're able to do like a lot of stuff. And I'm like, oh hey, like I can go here with you, but I can't like drink at dinner because that's gonna add up. I can, you know, and like. Just making these small, like, just, like, small sacrifices that's, like, nothing big. And just to keep making stuff. And hopefully one day, like, I won't have to.
Yeah, you can just make.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah,
a dream, right?
Cool. That would be cool.
Yeah. What have you been obsessed with lately? I guess besides paper mache being one of them.
As far as other people's art.
Or anything, yeah. Anything that makes you, like, feel good.
Well, it's so funny you said Lee Kelly 47, because, like, I've been listening to her music a lot, because it's just so, like, I just, like, I'm obsessed with her songwriting and just, like, writing a hooks, and it's so catchy, and it makes you feel so good, and it's, like, so easy to, like, sing along with, and that's really nice. I've also been obsessed with improv. Like, honestly, like, super obsessed, like, watching it, doing it, learning more about how to be like better at it. Like that's just been something that's been like very, very interesting to me lately. RuPaul's Drag Race, super into that. Like, I mean, cause it's just like the best reality TV show. Cause one, they're not very, I mean, sometimes they get a little catty, but most of the times they're pretty supportive at the end of the day. Two, like it's like so creative. Like you see like them actually rising to like the challenges like creatively, which is interesting. It's campy. I love good campiness, you know. It's just like so many silly puns. It's just great. So I'm obsessed with that. Yeah. I'm just trying to think. There's just like so many things. I'm like looking around my room. Like what? I don't know. Well, I'm just like just trying to express myself. I think like a month ago, I just took all the clothes out of my closet and then just put them in wacky combinations. So I'm just like, oh, I have something to wear.
That's great. That's great.
That was fun.
Yeah, and I like how you express yourself through, I guess, all your creative outputs because you've posted some of your graphic design.
Yeah.
On your Instagram as well, and
yeah,
and just through. Everything, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I did some cool projects last year. I designed an exhibit for Brooklyn College, which is like, okay, that's really cool. Yeah. Like a dream, actually. Yeah, so I just try to like constantly, because I think I'm happiest when I'm making things. And so it's just like, that's what makes me happy in the world, is to be creative and to like, I like to study how things are made, like really learn how that's made and then like mess with that. Like, so it's a little bit like off, you know, just like deconstruction, reconstruction, like making things like just a little bit bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not to totally bring it to another artist again, but I was thinking, because I saw Tierra Wax.
Oh, yeah.
Wack World.
They're great. Yeah. They're so colorful and like poppy and like just so quirky. And that's another artist that I'm like really, really respect. I mean, there's another person, Nitty Scott. Like, I feel like underrated.
Oh, okay.
So good. Like, recently I just been listening to her on the train. She has a song with Zap Mama, who like I was like super into like back in the day. So that's like, I would definitely check her out if you haven't. It's been more like kind of like cool, like feel good music, feminist. Definitely underrated. I think she should blow up. You know.
Cool. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been really taking all the like kind of more feminist perspectives,
right,
in music. I noticed one of the tags on your Bandcamp said Riot Rap.
Oh, that's like this. This is my record label.
Oh,
so it's
okay.
Just like, yeah. So I just like, it's like from the Riot Girl thing. It's like the three R's. It's just Riot Rap, and I was trying to get it to be like all the women I knew in New York who were rapping. I wanted them to send me all their new music, and I would just put it on like one page, so people kind of knew where to go, you know, like if they want to see new music. It's like, 'cause like that's why I think that's one of the hurdles for independent artists, is people won't look for you, but if they know they go to Riot Rap and they can discover all this stuff, I was like, that would be cool. But then that just didn't happen. I don't know why people just didn't send me stuff. And it's so easy. It's like, just send me your thing and I'll post it on this page, you know.
Well, there's still, it could still happen, I guess.
It could still happen. I'll make that a dream for 2018, like to have people say. I mean, I think too, this was like 4 or 5 years ago when I was trying to do this. And I mean, I think now that I have some more success, like people, which is sad, like people are more likely to work with you when like, it's like I'm making the same work, you know, like people are more likely to work with me because of my external success.
I always wonder where that is.
I think it's just because we're overwhelmed. There's so much content. I think people filter their opinions through, like, is this person, like, having lots of likes? Did a friend recommend that I already trust? Because I think people are just, like, so overwhelmed. They don't have time to, like, filter through, you know? Because there's so many people coming in and, like, I'm doing this. And most of it's not very good, you know? And so it's just, like, it's just to protect yourself. I think they set up these filters. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely does. Some of the things that I liked because I was thinking of even, I took a women's studies course about like media and representation a while back. But one of the things that it talked about was basically crafting as a feminist act.
Right.
And like reclaiming that kind of thing, because it's always been seen.
Like Betty Starr type, like how Betty Starr is like, and break. Do you know Betty Starr's work?
No, I don't think so.
She's an artist, a visual artist, and like she uses a bunch of like the quilting and like more like, I guess, like women's art, women's crafts. Like, it's like very well known now, you know, and like using that and reclaiming that is like, this is also can be high art. It doesn't have to be just like women's crafts, like low art, you know?
Yeah, and it's funny how crafting is always kind of seen that way, though. Whereas, like, if a guy's doing it, it's kind of like they're a maker.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. It's like, let's destigmatize craft, because it's, like, also just as complicated to, like, make a shelf as it is to make, like, a papier-mâché thing or, like, to knit some giant sock or whatever. That's also, like, I think it's just because women's contributions and things that are, like, feminine have been, like, so devalued. I think people just write off craft. Definitely check out Betty Starr, though.
Check
out her work. Her and her daughter make really cool work.
I'll definitely check that out. And then I was thinking too, kind of going on the whole feminist thing, like owning your sexuality as well, because we kind of touched on that before with just your song topics, I guess.
Yeah, and I like even in the songs, I'll be like, my puss isn't too hairy to eat. Sorry, you know, bon appetit.
Yeah.
I feel like for me, it's really important to reclaim my sexuality because I've been a victim of sexual assault and rape and stuff. And so just to be able to just even boldly say okay, this is part of myself that I'm owning is just a powerful radical act for myself, you know?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. I guess taking it back. I don't know if that's
it back or it's just reclaiming my body and it's always been mine, but reasserting that this is my body, you know, and I can do what I want with it.
Yeah, they don't have any right to it to tell you what to do.
Yeah,
the whole smile thing.
Yeah, literally no one has any right to tell me what to do with my body. And that could be, it doesn't even have to be someone who is interested in me sexually. It could be someone who's just I don't how your body's taking up space in the world. But I'm you have no right to tell me that you don't how my body exists in the world because it's not really your problem.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I liked about Thunder Thighs in the video was it was just being we can sit here out on the stoop.
Right.
Have our ice cream, whatever.
Yeah. Right, have our slice of pizza. We'll just, we're all having fun. This is just our life. This is, our friends, and we're just kind of, living this, moment, you know?
Yeah, and I was listening to an interview this morning. I can't remember who it was. But it was just talking about... Yeah, women with small breasts can be shown and it's considered high art, and anything bigger, it's trashy or...
Right. The vulgarity of having, curves.
Mm-hmm.
Any kind of curve is, supposed to be, vulgar, but if you, have this, one body type, then that's, artful. I think their name is Suglit. They're on Instagram. They have a really cool Instagram. It's, a bunch of different bodies that are, larger bodies, but it's so artful, you know. I'll find it and send it to you.
Cool.
But yeah, I do feel that's the thing. It's just there's certain bodies that certain people are allowed to be sexual, people that are expected to be sexual, you know, and I think that's mm-hmm. part of sexual freedom. It's also the right to not be sexual, the right to be I don't want to do anything right now. I just don't feel sexual, and that's fine. And not to feel pressured or if you look a certain way, to feel that you have to do anything. It's no, you're completely in control of what you do and don't do with your body, and there shouldn't be any pressure one way or the other. You know, as long as you're being consensual and safe and respectful of other people.
Yeah, it's so important it going both ways like that.
But it's also the sexualization of the female body versus the male body. If it was hot and a guy just takes off his shirt and walks down Manhattan Avenue, he's fine. But if it's hot and I'm just take off my shirt and I'm not trying to be sexy, I'm just hot, then that's a problem, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just this expectation of sexuality from women, and that's the goal and the expectation. And so your body itself is just sexualized inherently without any intention from you. That's a problem.
Yeah. And women always have to put themselves, I guess, out there more or dress up more for things like a performance or a show.
Right. You always have to consider, because then people are so mean. People are so mean to me. They're you're ugly, you're this, you're that. And there's some things they say to me that I don't even think is an insult. They're you're fat. I'm okay, that's a body type. You're just naming body types now. You're literally just calling me a body type. You know what I mean? And so it's just people just feel so entitled to talk about women's bodies and comment on women's bodies and expect things from women's bodies. And it's just exhausting.
I agree.
Yeah.
The amount of times I've gone to a show even, or just seen the guy on stage, maybe not even doing anything to dress up. And then say the next act has a woman on it. It's just have to make sure that, you know, if you're wearing a dress, no one can see up it. There's
right.
all those things that
Well, so that Beyonce image, like an image of Beyonce and what's his name, Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
She was wearing this like gown. It was like huge. And then he was just wearing t-shirt and jeans. And it's just like, are you serious?
Yeah. It's like, don't you know who you're standing next to?
Right. It's just like, can you try, like, just put a sparkle on that t-shirt? I don't know, some glitter, something like. But then it's also like the other way. It's just like, why? I mean, I know for me, like, I'm all like, I don't wear like a lot of makeup and stuff. I mean, that's like my choice. I feel like people should be able to modify their bodies however they want. But I just choose not to. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and sometimes I feel like pressure, like, oh, I look like sleepy and like all of this stuff, you know, when I see photos of myself. I'm like, why do I feel that way? Because I feel like a lot of times man wouldn't have that inner dialogue if he sees him on self on stage without makeup and he's like pulling a face, you know?
Yeah.
Hopefully, like, as I continue to age, and hopefully I can just care less and less about that kind of stuff, you know? Because it really doesn't matter at the end of the day. Like, we only have a very limited amount of time alive. And I don't know if I want to spend that time worried about what other people think my face is doing. You know, that just seems exhausting. I mean, even though I fall into that sometimes, it's just like, you know, like, hopefully, I mean, if the planet is still around, like, I hope people care less and less. I mean, I really have a lot of faith in, like, younger generations and, like, that they're going to, you know, they seem to have a lot healthier ideas on how things are, you know, as far as like gender and roles of people and just like body types and acceptance and consent and all of that. So hopefully, here's to hoping that things turn around.
And talking about it helps. It increases that whole like the visibility thing and just.
Right.
Knowing that this stuff is.
Right.
This crap is out there and. Yeah.
And then people don't feel so alone. Once one person starts talking about it, everyone can talk about it, you know, and it's not like shameful.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I like about the songs that you do, is because do that. You talk about everything.
I try. I'm just like, why would I just talk about how great I am, which is like a lot of rap songs, you know? Like, why would I just talk about stuff that's actually like significant to me? You know?
Yeah,
so, like, sound the best is like, okay, next.
I hear ya. Well, I think that's probably all. We've talked for like almost an hour.
Yeah. It's a great conversation. Thank you for being a good interviewer. I love it when it's just like I'm having a conversation and it's not like, so what's your top five? Like, I hate when people ask me, like, what's your top five? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't rank things. I just like them. And then sometimes I forget I like them and it comes back. You know, it's just like, very good interview.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, I'm super looking forward to seeing you at Kazoo
in April. Yeah, it's very nice to meet you in person.
Yeah, me too. And just for the podcast part, I'll just ask you, where can people find you online?
Oh, okay. So you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Yo Eves. And you can find me on YouTube. I think you just type in Miss Eves. A lot of videos will show up. And Facebook is / I am, or Miss Eves Raps. Miss Eves Raps. So just really, if you just like go to my website, MissEves.com, all the socials and stuff are in there. If you're interested in like seeing my videos, I put them all on there. So yeah.
Cool. Thank you to Miss Eves. Go to kazoo.ca for all up-to-date information. Follow Kazoo on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Give Miss Eves a follow on everything. We'll end it here. Just fast forward. It's like you made a lead. You so far behind me. So I'm done dragging. Yeah, I push myself instead. Back. What? I don't want that. My interest is in your head. I don't backtrack or reverse that. Your chance is dead. I moved ahead. I'm 10 steps.
you can't rubberneck.